Like Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyke. Milwaukee writer Jenny Benjamin's recent novel spans hundreds of years and thousands of miles. This Most Amazing is set in modern-day Milwaukee, but also in Italy, just before the turn of the 19th century. The book weaves together the mysteriously linked lives of a poet named Dahlia and a peasant named Vincenzo. The novel came out last month, and Jenny Benjamin came by the studio then to share the backstory. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Mitch.
Thanks for being here. Where did this novel start for you? A significant part takes place in Milwaukee, which is understandable, but where did your interest in Italy come from?
Well, I'm half Italian, and my family actually comes from the village that is the main setting in the novel. And so it originates from there, in a family story, actually.
So share the family story, if you wouldn't mind. What was it that captured your imagination and made you want to fictionalize it?
Well, it's a family story I heard a lot of times at family gatherings on my dad's side. That's the Italian side. And the story would go that my great-great-grandfather was in the army when Napoleon was coming in with his Italian campaigns, and just he and a few others got tired of fighting, so they just walked home to Valletta Brea, and that's the village. And then he was in jail, supposedly, and he met his future wife at the village jail because she brought the food. And that was the story that mystified me for years.
It's and why wouldn't it? It grabs the imagination.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
The modern day part of the story does play out in part in Milwaukee. And your main character, modern day main character, is Dahlia. And she is a poet and a teacher as well. And I gather this is not too dissimilar from your own background.
Very similar, yes. Actually, all my writing – I've written fiction my whole life, but my first love with writing was poetry. And that's what I focused on when I got my master's and always thought, well, I will publish a poetry book. It never happened. I have volumes unpublished in my drawers. But so yes, and I'm also a teacher as well. I taught a high school for at-risk students for 11 years. Here in Milwaukee. And so I'm very close to it. I taught at my ed at the college level, but different venues for poetry too. So yeah, the character is very similar. I've already gotten a lot of questions that I'm Dahlia because it's then that section, that part of the novel is first person. So, but I'm just as much Vincenzo as Dahlia, you know.
Well, I was going to ask, so at what point did you marry these two ideas in your mind and decide that they were actually one story?
Very good question. For years, I wrote poems about the family story I told you about. And it would crop up in different narratives or different types of poems. It just all the time. I was fixated on it. And then it was after the birth of my third daughter, I was knocking around the Vincenzo part. I couldn't get it to work. And I was thinking it has to have two different time periods. What's going to be this connection? And then after Allie, my third daughter, was born, I got this idea of linking the two somehow, and Dahlia cropped up, and that's where she was born.
I'm always curious to talk about the process when it comes to a book that has a parallel structure like this. I mean, it plays out in modern-day Milwaukee and then later modern-day Italy, and then also at the same time Italy during the Napoleonic Wars. Did your writing jump back and forth, or did you lay out each track individually and later weave them together?
That's a really good question. I wrote them simultaneously, and so when I outlined, I was very structured with this. Other things I'm not always to know where I was leading. And so what you see now is divided up quite differently, but I would do these big chunks of Vincenzo and then a big chunk of Dahlia. And then once I finished those chunks, I would go back. So they were written at the same time.
Then the other question that goes along with process is you write as Dahlia for half the book, and you write very knowingly as Vincenzo for mm-hmm. part of the book. Was it difficult for you to get into the mind of a male character?
That's a good question. It wasn't at all. He's so dear to me, and I don't know anyone, I think, who writes, that's part of the process, is that you do whatever you can to really get in the shoes of someone that you're writing about. And so whenever I did research or whenever I was imagining him in situations, I became him in a sense. Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit more about Vincenzo. I mean, I think we have a thumbnail sketch of who Dahlia is at mm-hmm. this point, but what makes Vincenzo tick?
Well, he's an artist, too. He grew up as a shepherd as well. His family, they're shepherds outside of Valle de Brea. But he always drew, and his mother encouraged this. And then when he volunteers to go with the French to fight, and acting like his brothers are not there.
Right. He volunteers essentially to save the rest of his family from getting conscripted into the French army.
Exactly. So that sacrificial move is very much in part of his character. But when it comes down to it, the actual, you know, fighting is difficult, and it brings out a rage side, too, that he does have. He has that as well. So he's a really complicated character and very interesting to think about and to cast, you know.
Well, and the theme that crops up in both your Vincenzo character and in Dahlia is this idea of the wounded place inside them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Give us a sense for, I mean, there's the wounded place, and then there are kind of the muses that both of them have in front of them.
Yeah, that's well put. Right. And I think with Vincenzo, that wound, this doesn't give anything away because it's very much at the beginning of the book. The catalyst for him leaving and deserting is he broke off in the battle at Rivoli and chased down an Austrian boy, you know, and kills him just in the back. And it's a brutal scene, and it tears him apart. It's his wound, and the rest of his journey is dealing with that. Now, Dahlia, it's a good question.
It's a little, it's definitely more subtle.
It is more subtle. And, you know, she speculates and has her whole theory. She's an interesting character, too, in the sense of makes up her own theories and philosophies and kind of scripted together ideology. And some of it is that sometimes these wounds, these deep wounds, stay with us through various lives.
And we don't want to give too much away, but very early on in the book, I think the opening scene in the book, we learn that that Dahlia is somehow tapping into these experiences that Vincenzo had a couple centuries before.
Yes, and that is the opening scene that she basically, as the story goes on, and meeting, you mentioned her muse, if her love interest is Jonas, who is an artist, and those, that experience and that relationship ignites these scenes. She begins, when she sleeps, she realizes these are not just dreams. These are recurring scenes from the life of this very specific person.
And I don't know whether we want to – do we want to touch on Vincenzo's love interest? I mean, I guess we find out who it is in the beginning, and we could certainly reference that she is someone in this town that I don't know. How much do you want to say about Ottavia?
Ottavia is very much the story I had told you that was the catalyst of the story of my fictionalized version of the family story. She is the daughter of the village doctor, and she's the one bringing the food. Her cousin Paolo is the one keeping track of Vincenzo while he's in the cell. And, Vincenzo falls instantly in love when he sees her.
How long have these characters been a part of your life?
Well, Vincenzo, the stories for, I can't even remember when I first heard the family story. But really me trying to write about it in poems goes back probably 10, 15 years. And then when I really got the idea to connect them, these two different timelines, that was since 2009 when I really started drafting it.
Given how long they have been with you, was it hard to end this book?
Yeah, I was happy to end it because you just get to where, you know, I always say this when I'm writing something. It took me, especially a poem, it took me 5 years and 5 minutes, and that kind of feeling of, so much of it is just thinking and imagining and structuring over and over and over. So then when I actually got it, what I wanted to do and the story I wanted to tell, and I got it all mapped out, I was really happy to get that first draft done. And then, of course, there's the revision and stuff.
What was the hardest part of the process for you?
I think the hardest part was making sure that the two lines jived okay and to run some themes throughout that would be an underlayer that could connect them as well. And that went through drafts because, like I said, when I wrote these huge chunks, that wasn't there. And it took in the revision process to really bring that bottom layer out.
And as you say, Dahlia is not, strictly speaking, an autobiographical character. Mm-hmm. But how different was Dahlia when you first conceived of the story and the Dahlia that actually shows up in the book today?
Well, I think in the very first version of her, she was a bit much, and I won't swear, but she was kind of just too much, especially with Jonas and with her love interest, that she came off too harsh, too biting.
She does have her own rage that parallels in a strange way Vincenzo's, mm-hmm. although not a violent rage.
Exactly. And I was just thinking about that the other day when I was here. The characters are coming up in my head a lot more now as I'm talking about them. But they both do have world rage, which I think is very important in many ways for change, but also for them, you know, that connection to them. And it does. And it comes out, and she's not afraid to say it, and she's, a really alive character.
Well, what is your thinking about the idea of channeling experiences that have happened centuries before?
Well, I think that I'm very similar to Dahlia in this idea of, you know, are we a universe that trades lives or trades souls or things like that? And again, it comes back to having children. And after I had children, and you have kids too, or when they come out, it's like, wow, this is an old soul. That if people may have said that or whatever. And looking at them, and especially with each girl, I have three of them that came out, they looked like older and older souls. And just this idea of, are we connected? And our bodies, our DNA is connected very much to, you know, our ancestors too. So it really got me thinking and playing around with the characters and what happens in the story.
I'm curious as I read the acknowledgments and everything around it. I want there must be a story to this. This book is published in Cyprus.
Yes, it is. There is a good story to this. You know, when you're submitting to, a lot of times you can go the agent route as a writer or small presses. You don't necessarily need an agent because they're more open to unsolicited manuscripts. And when I first started, I was done and I started pitching it to agents. I got a lot of responses that wanted to see it, but usually it came back with, you know, we don't know if we can sell this. And I really like this, but I don't like this. I can't take it on. And then I had a couple of close calls with smaller presses, and it just said to myself, maybe this is a small press book. So I really focused on smaller presses. And a friend of mine in my online writing group, Sandy Brawl, she on Twitter said, hey, Jenny, I saw that there's this press in the Mediterranean. Your book's set in the Mediterranean. You should send it to them. And that's how I found them. So, yeah, they're on Cyprus, and pretty neat connection.
Did you have to do anything in particular to attract their interest? I mean, is there anything different about the publishing industry in Cyprus versus?
You know, I think it was just they're very much into believing in what they want to publish. If you look at their site, it's Armida Publications. They really have quite a variety on their list, and I think that, you know, if they connect to the story and they think there's a market for it, it's just like anything else. And I think the fact that it wasn't the Mediterranean, that might have had something to pull them in.
Was the time difference a challenge when it came to editing?
You know, it has been a little bit. But I'm a really early morning person and with kids. You know, you get up beforehand. And so sometimes the best time they would be so surprised. They would send something. It's afternoon there, and it's maybe 4 or 5 a.m. for me. It's like, oh, here you are, you know. So it worked out.
Well, Jenny Benjamin, thanks so much, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much.
Jenny Benjamin's recent novel is called This Most Amazing. It's published by Armida Books. Benjamin is a freelance writer, poet, and teacher who lives in Milwaukee. There's a link to more about her and about her writing from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Our interview with Jenny Benjamin first aired in May. That's all for the Tuesday edition of the show. Just a reminder that our fiscal year is rapidly coming to an end. By sharing your support before our fiscal year ends this Sunday, you'll be among those that are helping to continue the quality news, information, and entertainment you rely on each day. Please make an important contribution today at wuwm.com/give or call us at 414-270-1225. And thanks so much for your support all year and every year. I'm Mitch Teich. Thanks also for tuning in today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. We're NPR in Milwaukee. It's 11 o'clock, and stay tuned. Fresh Air is next. Thank you.